Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this February 9th, 2023, 10:31 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by one of our favorite people, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationship Educator with UW-Madison Extension. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. How you been?
Good.
Good. Good. Very happy to hear that, and very happy to dive into what we're going to talk about today, the extension wellness classes that are going on, and some revamping to this, it sounds like.
Yeah, so pre-COVID, we had a fantastic program with our community partner at SWAPS, the food pantry here in Wisconsin Rapids, and then during COVID, we went virtual. So we didn't stop them, we still did them, and we kind of tried to do a hybrid of rotating around, doing a couple different locations. We tried some live libraries, still the virtual, you know, I won't say super successful, you know, low attendance at most kind of thing. And so finally decided, yeah, let's go back to in person. And so now we're partnering with Focus. So if you're not familiar with Focus, Focus is the joint location for the new food pantry here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's located down on West Grand Ave. So if you're heading out of town, if you got to Quick Trip, you went too far. So it's across the street from that, kind of behind on the backside of a building. It's beautiful. So if nothing else, hopefully you get lots of things out of today's discussion. But if you haven't gotten anything else out of it, is take a trip over to Focus and check out this just beautiful facility. It houses not only the food pantry, but also the backpack program. It also does the meal site. So the weekly meals are now held there. So there's a beautiful commercial kitchen and a big dining room that's, again, gorgeous, super nice. There's a hydroponics room.
So cool.
Which is so cool. So super fun. Very jealous. So even if you're maybe even looking for volunteer opportunities, and I highly encourage you to check it out. So if you use us for nothing, you can use us. Feel free to use us. Come on in for a reason. If you don't feel comfortable just stopping in to check it out, come on down to our program, and then it'll be an excuse for you to get a tour. The other cool thing is that our programs are on Tuesdays, and they're right before pantry. So they're from 3 to 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. And the cool thing is that if you're in the class, you get to be first in line for pantry.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. So you get to kind of jump the line. So I know over the years, that was something that kind of was a motivator for some people, especially if they have mobility issues or it was cold and they didn't want to wait. If you can come and sit and listen and get some free food and, you know, get good stuff, it was a great way to kind of jump in line. And so they really liked it. So that's kind of where that's at. So so we're hoping to really get more people, get some more foot traffic. It was remodeled during COVID, kind of a long process. They've been open for a little while now, but still use more people, knowing who it is, what it is, where it is. You can go to the pantry. Again, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, which most people don't know. So if you've never utilized it, again, highly encourage you to check it out. It's a great process, and we're just kind of an avenue to help you get there.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more as far as the focus on what they're doing over there and people checking it out. I would love to do. I haven't gotten to get over there and do a tour myself. I'd like to do that and like bring it up on the air and talk about it on the air. Because more awareness for that place can always be used.
Yeah. And again, it's just cool. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I know it's kind of the thing that in many communities, WASA just opened theirs last week. They had their open house.
That's right.
Very similar concept, too. So it's this idea of kind of a one-stop shop for folks. We want to make it easier for you to access services. So the more that we can get you into one location for multiple things, the lot easier. So hence why we are having our programs there, so that you can, you know, get access to multiple things when you're there, too.
Plenty to talk about today. I don't mean to get us down a different a side alley or anything, but you know me, I do this. It seems like to me, talking to different groups of people and having different extension members join us and hearing, you know, many years talking to you about like Focus and these things, it seems like we're getting better and better, not only being comfortable talking about mental health, but about how to approach the topic, about how to help people with the topic, about, you know, building bridges between people and people that can help those people in that.
Accessing services, absolutely. That, so
that's
I think
a much easier way to say it.
That is, you know, been, I would say, in my, way too long, 20-some years, that's really been, you know, in every community I'm in, that's our goal, right? We mm-hmm. want to get people the help they need when they need it. And not just Extension, like any help provider in the community. We want to get people the help they need when they need it. So if we can eliminate a barrier, and I don't care if you're talking about access to food, if you're talking about mental health services, if you're talking about financial assistance for your rent, like it doesn't make a difference what it is. No one wants to be sent to 10 different people. No one wants to be put on hold and or you don't understand what they're saying, or so many different things, or there's a language barrier, or there's lots of, that's the reason people don't go. That's the reason we don't go. And you also hold on to it for a really long time. So maybe you did try the food pantry 10 years ago and you had a sour experience and you're like, oh, I'm never going back again.
Mm-hmm.
Go back. Changed an awful lot. Again, not just the beautiful new, you know, facility, but just the whole process and how, you know, again, I'll cross my fingers, you're greeted as you walk in the door, and it's a really nice experience. So if you haven't gone, I'd say even in the last, 3 years since COVID, I encourage you to check it out. And even if you don't want to go for yourself, go and check it out and then refer someone else. Because I know we all know someone in our lives that can use more food right now. And just because, and again, I don't want you thinking, well, I'm fine, there's other people that need it more. If you need it, you need it. And that's what it's there for. So that's why we have these services. So I think that's part of, I love how you brought up mental health, but I think that goes for accessing any help services right now too. We have this connotation in our society that's bad. Like you don't want to, use and abuse the system, and that's for other people, and it's there for you.
Yeah.
If you need food, if, any day of the week you are not getting what you need, if you are, sacrificing other things to get food or vice versa, the opposite, It's there, and we have resources. Utilize them. No one wants to be throwing stuff away. So it is there for you. So
yeah.
I hope, if nothing else, like I said, if you don't want to go for yourself, refer a friend. Go together, make it a social event. We're all, that's another thing. I just did a program earlier this week at the library, but talking about social connections, right? And that's part of it too, is get a buddy and head on out. We want you out and about in the community. So I said, there's opportunities to volunteer, but I just want you to get out and build social connections, because that's so important for your health too, mental and physical.
Want to dive into the classes and touching on these a little bit?
Yeah. So similar to our setup before, except last time we did all 4 weeks. This one we're doing 3. So it starts on the second Tuesday. No. Yes.
Is that the second?
No, yeah. I'm looking. No, first. So first Tuesday of the month is Janelle Weir. She's our horticulture educator. So she did hers this past week, the first one. And then the next week, so the second Tuesday is Hannah. And Hannah is our FoodWise educator. Hmm. So she talks on something food and nutrition related. Mm-hmm. And she generally has a food sample. So again, if you just want to get out and socialize and you're looking for something fun to do, that's good. And then the third week of the month is me and financial. And when I say financial, you will also notice we do have flyers. We have the dates for the next couple of months on there. And again, it's going to stay the same for the remainder of the year. So if you ever want to go, always know that the first Tuesday of the month is going to be something hort-based, right? It's always going to be, gardening, growing your own food, any kind of questions related to that. So you can keep that for the remainder of the year. You don't even have to have a current flyer. But I think the other thing is we're also open up to change, right? And listening to people and knowing what they want. So we're only doing a couple months at a time. We're keeping the flyers really vague so that we can go with what people need, right?
Yeah.
So my topic for 2 weeks, so it's not next week, the following week, so it'll be on the 21st. We're going to talk about the idea of what to keep, what to toss, just getting organized, right? So it's the beginning of the year. It's also tax season. It's also that time when people have more indoor time. They're looking for something to do. And we're also staring at the piles of stuff that we have that we don't know what the heck to do with, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's my topic. So we'll cover a variety of different things. We'll talk about just some of the financial implications of it. So how to be more organized. So things like, again, where to keep your important financial papers, what to keep. I do have a flyer that we actually, it's not a flyer, it's like a hard copy piece of paper. It's called Sharing Secrets, but just where do you keep your stuff?
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to let someone else know now. I always say fill out this form and then put it in your underwear drawer and tell your loved ones it's in my underwear drawer. So if someone, something happens to me, you know where to find, you know, the different pieces. A lot of times, I think, especially in past generations, we put a lot of important papers in our lockbox at the bank. But if someone also was, their name was not on the lockbox and they didn't have access, then no one could get to any of the information, right? So there's things that should be in your lockbox, and that's on this flyer as well. But there's also things that you need to access through at home. And also, if something does happen to you, someone needs to know where it is, right? So I think that's the important part. It's actually called Sharing Secrets. And it's like, I don't want you to, no one needs to know your business, right? I get that. I 100% get that you want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
But when the time comes, you don't want, I just gave this example the other day, and then I had three people in the room raise their hands and they're like, yeah, that happened to my, are you talking about my family?
Right.
They said, we were talking about after someone did pass, that one woman said 2 years, they were still cleaning out the property. Someone else said they were like 18 months in and they were still finding stocks that this person had. So they couldn't close the estate because they were still finding things that had financial implications. So again, this piece of paper, you can say, yes, I have stocks from this year, this year, this year. This is where they're located, right? So it's this idea of, again, you don't have to give it to anybody right now. Just tell somebody that if something happens, here's my list. I have it all written down what it is. You know, it's fantastic. I also work with a lot of folks lately on kind of, we call it planning ahead. So this idea of, you know, if something does happen to me, these are my wishes, you know. And so it's nice that if you trust your family that they will do things for you. But it's also nice that if you want to share these things with someone else. So, you know, funeral planning. Yeah, it's fantastic if you pre-planned your funeral. But if you don't tell anybody.
Not going to do
it. Not
a lot
of only good. That you paid for it, but, you know, I have a lot of folks that, you know, they write their own obituary. They have things set aside. They have things that they want. And they're very passionate about their wishes. If you don't share them with anybody, it won't, you know, get carried out.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other piece of it, is really just kind of thinking through. So I think this is a really good time of year to come on in, have a conversation. We'll talk about, again, those kind of important papers. Where are they kept? The financial implications of some of that, right? So if you lose, say, a deed to something, or you can get another copy, you're going to pay for it. You know, a birth certificate, marriage license, you need those now to get a real ID at the DMV. You're going to pay for it. You can get new copy. So there is importance of being organized, knowing where things are at, and there are financial implications if you don't. So we'll kind of work our way through, and then we'll cover a little bit of just that kind of more generic of how to be more organized. You know, how do you even start?
You know, one of the things that stands out right away to me about this, Jackie, is the idea of, we're dealing with a topic that not everybody wants to face or talk about always. But to me, I noticed something with my own parents with this, and talking with other people about it since the last time we talked about this.
Yeah.
My mom and dad took an initiative after hearing you talking about it. Said, oh, my mom is a planner and she has all this stuff done. And then she's like, wait a minute, I didn't do this and this. And she heard you talking. She's like, okay, we're getting on this, Jimmy. And of course, the oldest is the first one they pull in, of course. So, you know, I'm pulled into that. But it's actually been really good for me, because it's been like, well, wait a minute. I don't want my kids going through this stuff. I'm, you know, so I want to make sure to do these things too, the checks and balances, if you will. And once it was done, it was, some of it was heavy conversation.
Yeah.
But once it was done, the relief that I saw in my mom and dad, I'm still seeing.
Yeah.
Like when these things, when they see something in the news and something pops up in their head about a will or where they're keeping their important documents, or any of these kind of things, they have a relief in them every time the subject pops pops in their head. So it's not just that you can take care of this and maybe you don't have to really deal with it much after that. But when you do think about it later on, it's kind of like looking out for future you, you know, in many ways. And that the relief in that.
I love that you brought that up, because we talk about the idea of, especially when you're talking about end of life planning, we have this idea that it's I wish it was only for older adults, right?
Right.
I wish it only pertained to people who were, you know, lived a long, healthy, prosperous life. That's not the case, right?
Yeah.
So we always say it's anyone over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about something, it literally is over anyone over the age of 18. So you need to be having these conversations as your children graduate and go to college, and you need to be asking them what their wishes are.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's not just the health stuff of, you know, do you want to be an organ donor or kept alive on a machine if you are unable to breathe for yourself, but it's also the other pieces that go with it. And we just don't talk about it. So I think part of this is normalizing that, and just, yeah. And again, a part of it is just being organized to know where it is. And so same thing, you have young people that are moving out, make sure they know that, this is what you keep with you. You need to keep a copy of this. And no, I don't want you to keep your social security card in your dorm room.
Right.
No, not, you know, absolutely not. So I think that's important for folks too. I did this, a version of this last week at the alternative high school at River Cities. And we were talking about what to keep where. And I was helping the kids fill out their forms to get their credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I had told them the previous time to make sure that you had your social security number with you, but don't carry your card in your wallet. And I was so like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden these kids are pulling up their wallets. And I'm like, yeah, no, don't carry your social security card in your wallet.
Yeah. Right?
So huge. So I think part of that, you know, for any age is this idea of, where do we keep our stuff? When do, you know, and then even the other part is kind of the more generic of just cleaning, right? Mm. Like this idea of it's that time of year, you have extra time because the weather's kind of crappy out right now. And then, you know, we all look at piles in our house. We all have something. You have a junk drawer, you have a junk room, you have a cluttered counter or table, like the basement. There's a space that you stare at and you're like, oh, yeah, I got to get to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of that, and this is part of that, too. So it's not just end-of-life planning or organizing. It's that, you know, looking at your space, too. So it's really interesting that I just found a research article that was talking about how clutter in our lives leads to additional, like, physical stress on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more that you can actually organize space around you makes you feel better, relieves that stress. And even when we talk about, like, when I was saying earlier about, you know, coming down and joining us, just that connectiveness, I again, we don't think that this has an impact on us.
Mm.
So I found this study from 2021, so fairly recent, and she said that loneliness and isolation is the equivalent on your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That's crazy.
I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Loneliness and isolation has the same impact on your physical health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, right? So, and the same thing can be said about, you know, chaos and, you know, around us. So the more things that we stare at and the more stuff that there is, it has a physical impact on our health.
Mm.
So, you know, even if you, so I always say, you know, where do you start? Start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So pick a space, and there's different methods for this. I acknowledge that it can be overwhelming. I acknowledge that it can be hard. We have a connection to stuff in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this financial benefit to knowing where things are, not having to replace them. I shared the story last week of my dad, who I feel is very organized. Like, he is complete opposite of me. Like, I feel like he's anally organized, like, right? But last spring, we were doing a strange project, and I asked if he had an electric nail gun.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know, right?
Where did I put
so we start looking for this electric nail gun. We look, and he's got three different shops and three different, you know, outbuildings and different things, and oh, maybe out at the 40, you know, whatever. Look, do you know how many electric nail guns we found?
Oh no.
Three. We didn't find the one that we are looking for, but we found.
Oh, we didn't find the.
We did not find the open electric nail gun. We found three that were still packaged, sealed in the package and unopened. And I'm like, why do you why do you have four electric nail guns? Like, he doesn't do construction. This isn't all something that he, you know, is doing all the time. Like, yeah. Like, no, what's a plumber by trade? You know, not, no. And, well, I don't know where it's quicker somewhere. And easier to go buy a new one.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So in his life, you know, in the house with papers, uber organized. He's got documents going back to the 1960s. Categorized, color categorized, date, time. He's got, oh my God, like hilariously, he's got little letters from the bus drivers. My brother is now 58 years old, and he's got, you know, notes that the bus driver sent home when he was, you know, reprimanded.
Wow, awesome.
He's got them all like filed and saying like, organized, like super organized when it comes to paperwork. But when it comes to his tools, not so much, right? Mm, like, okay, we don't all have to be organized in the same part of our lives. So again, but, you know, an electric nail gun is not a cheap thing. So by the time you buy four of those, that's hundreds of dollars, if not more, depending on the brand. So, you know, it's like, yeah, it's there is this financial implication to, you know, knowing where your stuff is, no matter what it is. So, you know, I always say start small. Pick a space, right? So if it is depending on your space and where you're at, you know, I always go back. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but I'll age myself again, many, many years ago, 20 plus years ago, Oprah had this thing, and she had some psychologists on talking about a kitchen table.
Mm.
If you come home or wake up in the morning or go to bed and you have just a clean kitchen table, how it starts and ends your day, and you're on a positive, higher positive.
I like that.
Note. Yes. Hmm. So you're walking in and you're not seeing clutter. It's not the first thing in your face. So if you have a space. So the rest of your house could be just trash, right? Like, you could have a dining room that you can't walk in. But if your kitchen table is cleared off, or your countertop, the first thing that you see, or your pantry, or, you know, your porch, pick a space, a small space, so that the first thing that you see, either when you walk in the house or exit the house or in the morning, and this is the same kind of thing in the concept of, you know, making your bed. Some of us have
first
always,
thing to pop in my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of us have always made our bed, but there's this idea of it's new, it's fresh, it's not only does it feel good or it's clean, but it's this idea of, yes, it's this, it makes you feel like, and there's physical, you have lower heart rate, you have like, it's like, holy smokes, this is all connected. It is, it's powerful.
Yes.
So even if you can't tackle the basement, or, you know, maybe someone in your life is no longer with you, that kind of thing, and you have all of their stuff that you haven't gone through. No, pick a spot. Set the timer. Literally, it's another tool. Set the timer. Give yourself 10 minutes and say, I'm going to work on this for 10 minutes. When I'm done, I'm stepping aside and I'm walking away, right? But give yourself credit for setting the timer and starting and doing it, right?
Yeah.
Another method that I recommend is going through like and do easy, like low hanging fruit, right? So we always say like keep, toss, donate. Have three piles. Keep, toss, donate. A lot of times it's super easy to start with garbage. Start with garbage. Start with the stuff that if it's broken or you haven't used it more than, you know, we used to say years, but 6 months. You haven't touched that baby in six months. Get rid of it.
Probably
right? Is it outdated? Is there a newer version that doesn't even work anymore? Do you have? I just had this. I found this the other day, a bunch of user guides and manuals for appliances we no longer have. We had an entire box.
I hear you.
An entire box of, you know, user manuals for appliances we no longer even
have. That's hilarious.
Why are we keeping that, right?
Yeah.
So again, there's things that you want, things that you need, but sometimes it's the low-hanging fruit that's really easy. So go through and just say that. Like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of the stuff that's broken or trash or I don't need anymore or I don't use. That's a quick one. You know, just go through and do that. So do it in levels. Do it at your own pace. Give yourself credit. But we'll be talking through some of these different pieces of methods to kind of go through your stuff. And again, what are those? So some of the financial implications of it, but then also just working your way. And again, there's also no right or wrong way to do this. It's different for every person. It's different in every situation. So you might've done it 2 years ago, let's say when your father passed away and you're like, oh yeah, we did this really good. And then now I tried the same method and it's just not working.
Yeah.
We're in a different space. We're in a totally different space. So give yourself credit as you kind of try to.
And to piggyback on that, I noticed this at back in high school. I make my bed, and it's not a big deal. And sometimes I'm a little late, like a minute or so late to what I wanted to get started at or whatever. But when I came back to my bed at night, it was made, it was ready to go. And I have this like kind of full circle moment. And I started my day with a win. And the more the time goes on, and the more I talk to people, the more that phrase, just take the win.
Yeah.
And not everything is the Super Bowl. Not everything is a huge, gigantic win. Sometimes it's those little ones. And even if it's subconscious, even if you're not recognizing, hey, I just won, you don't have to necessarily have that. But the win, it, doing the action, and as you're going about your day, and maybe things don't go perfect for you, you have started your day with a win. You're already one up. And it's just making your bed, but it feels good. Maybe it's cleaning off that kitchen table before you go to bed at night. And when you wake up, there's the win sitting right there. We need to take the wins more in life. We need to do that more. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. A win in week one of the season.
No matter the size, right?
Yes. It counts just the same as it does in week five. You know, it's the same thing. So taking those wins where you can, I think, is a really nice note. The clarity is also nice with this. I think a lot of people think of hoarders right away when they think of stuff. And, oh, well, I'm not a hoarder. Well, you don't have to be a hoarder to have way too much stuff. And hoarding has very little to do with the stuff and more to do with what's going on in their brain and the chemical imbalance and those things.
Absolutely.
When it comes to your average, quote-unquote, average person, none of us are average. When it comes to that and a lot of stuff, that's kind of something we all can be guilty of, whether you have an apartment or an estate. The more you can get rid of that stuff, you are going to have some more clutter, less clutter in your brain, less clutter going on up there. It's nice to have more space. It's all really nice to have more space upstairs. And you're going to help out over the back fence. You can bring those items to over the back fence. Shameless plug.
And it's funny that we don't think of that, right? We don't think, again, and there's so much data now and research that shows that, yes, there are physical implications to clearing out your stuff that it has on your health. And you're right, mental, physical, and even physical. Again, lower your blood pressure, longer longevity. There's all these pieces, and it's like, holy smokes, really? Yes. From just cleaning out, your space. So, and sometimes it's, you can say, you're right, we do think of hoarders, but it's like, oh, I had a gentleman this past week that was in a program of mine, and he said, we have the last 30 years worth of tax returns. You don't need 30 years worth of tax returns, right? Or all of their checkbook stubs, for the last 30 years.
yeah.
You don't need that either, right? So there's different levels. We all have something.
We all have
stuff. But anyway, so ours, February 21st is me. We'll be talking through this. We'll be going through different methods. If you'd like to sign up for any of our programs, again, they're on Tuesdays, first, second, and third Tuesday of the month at Focus, which is located on West Grand. Like I said, right down almost to Quick Trip. You can contact our office to register. It is free of charge. We just want to know because we do some prep for the program. So to register, it's 421-8437. Again, 421-8437. And well, happy to see you. I hope we get a crowd and good stuff.
That's it should be great. We really do appreciate these classes and these things that you're going over. And one of the things that I think is going to be really noteworthy with this class, the flyer that we didn't get a really chance to touch on too much, but how long do I keep household records? You were kind of touching on that a little bit there towards the end. And that's really, like, that alone is really interesting, let alone, sharing secrets and where to keep these items and that. There's just thing after thing that are just very noteworthy and very helpful, and always enjoy the time. Jackie, I don't think we've ever gotten together and I've ever been able to keep track of time. I always lose track. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to wrap up. Really do appreciate you, Jackie, for what you do for our community and hanging out with us and everything monthly. We appreciate the time. People want to follow up on some of the things we've talked about or register or be a part of this. How can they do that?
Again, contact the Extension Office, 421-8437. Again, 421-8437.
We'll be sure to send some people your way.
Awesome.
And thanks for the time, Jackie. Well, at More Morning Magazine for tomorrow, we'll wrap up the week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.